Welcome to the Sober Rebel Bite Size series for January. This episode is no more than 20 minutes, and there will be one a day throughout the month of January. I've been doing this podcast now for nearly 2 years, and in that time I've spoken to so many amazing guests. So I thought it would be a lovely idea this month to revisit some of the highlights of those conversations every day throughout January to keep you focused on why you're doing this. And today's Bite Size episode is one with Austin, first aired on the 17th of October 2023. In the whole episode, Austin talks about feelings of contentment in sobriety, his journey of self-discovery, and how he really has harnessed the power of today. Well, let's talk about your sobriety then. So I ask people on here, and I say three things that have changed for you in sobriety. And I know that you've said to me you struggled to narrow it down to three. So let's give it a go. Shall we start with your first point?
I would love to. The first thing that was the biggest change in my life in sobriety was finding myself. I had absolutely no idea who I was. I started drinking at 19. Prior to that, I thought of myself, and even into my adulthood, as this shy, unlikable little boy. That was the picture of who I was. And no matter what happened in my life, I couldn't shake that feeling. So I just saw myself as this shy little boy. And when I pictured myself, that's how I would picture myself, regardless of how old I was. At 19, when I discovered alcohol, that voice just went away. It silenced all of that. And I became this other person, this outgoing, friendly, energetic person. And that actually is fine for a little while, but alcohol then changed all of that. When I got sober, though, I had to struggle with that. That voice came back pretty early on, that idea of being a small little boy, small, shy little boy. And I, in my sobriety, what I've worked on doing is uncovering who I actually am, because I'm neither that shy little boy, nor am I that energetic, outgoing. I'm a combination of those things. I'm both of those things, but I'm not one or the other. And that's taken a long time to really work through, like, who am I at the core of who I am? I didn't like change who I am in sobriety. I just learned who I really am in sobriety. I often think a lot of it, like, when they talk about a sculptor and a piece of marble, they're just taking away the things that aren't the art. Like, they're just uncovering the thing that's really in there. And that's the way it feels to me. I just had to peel away all of these things that weren't me to get down to who I really was. That was just a process. It's still a process I'm working on. This is not like, sobriety isn't for me anyway. It isn't a destination. It's a continuous process that I work on.
That is beautiful. I love that idea of the marble and just uncovering what's there all along. Yeah, I don't think we ever do know ourselves. And if you start drinking as a teenager, like most people do start drinking as a teenager, I don't think you know who you are as a teenager. I remember myself feeling very unlikable, very vulnerable, very shy almost, but encased in this gregarious, smiley kind of person that was just hiding and terrified inside. And alcohol is just a masking device. So how did you go about unmasking your true personality? How did you find out who you really were?
I don't think I set out with the intention of finding out who I really was. So it took a while for me to start that work. I really started the work of dealing with the wreckage of my past was kind of the first thing I did, which was certainly an interesting journey, but I don't know that that helped me a lot understand who I was. So that was kind of the beginning of my sobriety, was a lot of like dealing with those things. Like I said, I work with a therapist. I think that's really important in my sobriety, to have someone, a professional that I can go and talk to and work through the things that I believe are true that may or may not be true. And I have to tackle each one of those. And in my now 8 years of therapy, we go back to some things like, do I still think that? Do I still believe those things? And we'll go back to places that we've had conversations before and start to work on those things again. There are a couple of things that became really important to me that I think helped me uncover myself more than anything else. And one of them was honesty. So in alcoholism, I was a liar. I don't think there's any other way to stay. For me, there wasn't another way to stay in alcoholism, to stay in my addiction, if I wasn't a liar. So in sobriety, I kind of knew that I had to change a lot of things, and honesty seemed like one of those things, but I had no idea how to be honest with anyone or myself. So I started to work on this idea of rigorous honesty with myself and with others. Above all, tell the truth. And that seemed to help a lot. If I thought that I was going to tell someone a lie or a fib or whatever you want to call it, I would have to think about why I was doing that. Like even in an email to a client, why do I feel the need to like shade the truth? And that helped a lot. Each time that I found myself lying, I explored why I was lying. That was just a daily process of understanding what I was doing and my actions and why I was taking those actions. And then the second most important thing was giving back, not being a taker. When I was in alcoholism, I was a taker. I took from everyone around me. And so I just reversed the flow of energy, I think, and started giving more than I was taking. And that helps me also understand that that's a really important part of my life and sobriety. I love to help people and be of service. It's this series of daily activities more so than like sitting down. I'm not a journaler. I don't like write other than my therapist. I'm not confessing my sins to anyone. I'm not like going through a process like that. I find my sobriety is best served when I take action in the day that I have.
And that brings us, I think, to your second point of sobriety, which I'll over to you.
I learned to find contentment in today. This took me a really long time to figure out, actually. I want to have like dreams and goals and achieve things in my life. I think everyone does. I can only speak for myself. I have a tendency when I set those goals and start to look to the future, I get lost in the future. I stop spending time in today and I start spending time in tomorrow and further than tomorrow. And it isn't like I'm just setting goals and then thinking about tomorrow. I am living in tomorrow. I am not here at all. And so early in sobriety, I lived this day at a time concept. Like I heard that concept of live one day at a time. And it was at early in sobriety, it was all I could do anyway, which was just like not drink and live in today. Like I do 10 minutes. I wasn't even doing it 24 hours at a time. And then I got comfortable in my sobriety. And then I started looking to the future, but I was living in the future. I was living in these imagined places that were never going to arrive. And I got really miserable in my sobriety.
That's so interesting, isn't it? We've all heard, I think, if you're in the sobriety circle, one day at a time is what you're told to do. And it's something that I sometimes struggle with, but I can completely see what you're saying. I was told to do dream boarding years and years and years ago. And I did this dream board of all these things, and I used to look at it, and it just used to make me feel so miserable because I think, okay, I need to come back to now. And that now you're saying that, I'm looking at it thinking, yeah, that was the problem. I don't do dream boarding now. I don't do 5-year goals. And I might do a, right, in 6 months, I want to do that. I'm more of a, if I've got a project, I'm doing it immediately, get it done. But that concept of really, truly bringing yourself back into the now, how did you actually do that each day? What did you do when you found your head drifting off into the future? Because it's quite a natural thing to happen, isn't it?
It's funny because I started to do things before I realized that they're actually things. So, for example, I set process goals, which I did not know were a thing, but it's just something I did because it helps me stay present. So, instead of setting a goal that's 5 years away or 10 years away or 6 months away, the goals that I'm setting are really short term, but they're also goals that are process and action oriented. So I'm kind of like, if I achieve that little goal, then I'm moving in the right direction. And that helps me stay present in today. Instead of the goal being achieving this thing that's going to take years to get to, I set a goal that is I can achieve in the next 30 minutes. And then I achieved that goal. And now I've taken that step. I can celebrate that win, which I'm terrible at doing, but I should. That's a thing I'm working on, like celebrating my little goals, my little wins. But that's for me, it's setting process-oriented goals, knowing that I am moving in a direction, but I really don't pay attention to the end. Because I've also come to learn that I never get to the place that I said I was going to get to. Like the thing that I wanted, that I set the goal for, is never actually the thing that I get to. It's some version of it. It's adjacent to it, but my life takes this windy path and other things come up. And it may be that I had a goal and then I found this other thing that I did for a while and then I come back to that goal. And so just achieving that goal, I know is not going to make me happy. Getting to that place, I'm not going to be happy there. And so I just like pull everything as close to me as possible and then glance up every once in a while. Am I even going in the right direction?
Yeah.
So I kind of compare it to like paddling across a lake. I've been using this term, this, I go camping
Yeah.
and we paddle across lakes and you're going for this point, but you kind of, in the paddling process, you kind of meander a little bit. More than important than anything is just paddling, because you're never going to get to the other side of the lake if you don't paddle. And so that's part of my process. Just doing the action of today that gets me a step closer to where I eventually think I want to go.
And when that goal is too fixed, isn't it? You don't know where life is supposed to take you. You've got to hand yourself over to a certain degree. You're not as in control as you think you are of where your destination could be. And it's that illusion of control that often causes that discontent inside.
Totally. Yeah.
And it's that feeling of contentment, isn't it? That just being content in today.
That's really hard though. Like being content in today, because I think there's the outside influence that's on us is so strong of like, sit down and set your 5 years goals, set your 10-year goals. What money do you want to get? What house are you going to buy? Like, are you going to like, these are conversations, at least in the States. I know it's a lot of places. Some cultures are better or worse about this, but like we have outside pressure all the time to achieve more, to earn more, to give our kids more. And I do want some of those things, but I also know that they're not going to make me happy, right?
Yeah.
Having more money is not going to make me happy because I've done that. Like I've made the money and I was not happy. And so what good is it? Like, I mean, trying to achieve more and do all those things, I'm achieving things in my life. I'm doing the things. Now, more so than before, I'm achieving the things that I want to do. I'm just approaching it in a different way that's healthier for me.
And sobriety is one of those things that's making me happy. And if you'd have told me that on that day when I was absolutely terrified of it and I thought my life was going to be over, that you are going to get more joy out of the feeling of achievement of hitting your head on the pillow sober that day, or dealing with that emotion that day, or getting through that holiday when you thought you were going to be tempted and you've had a lovely time, and then you just feel you're connecting back into the joy of the present moment. Is what I find.
I totally agree with that. Sobriety is a like, it's amazing to me that we go from actively poisoning ourselves to living a completely different way in our lives. And it is so unexpectedly enjoyable. But I always say, this is a life I never thought I wanted. I
Yeah.
didn't want to live this way. But now I can't imagine living any other way. Because you're right, when you have that day, it was challenging and you were in your emotions and you sometimes even now I'm like, how am I doing this? How am I going to get through this pain or this worry or this anguish, or my brain is racing and I know that I could make it all go away, right?
Yeah.
I could take a drink and it could evaporate all of these feelings, all of this just magic switch, it goes away. Being able to hit your pillow sober after all of that is mind-blowing.
It is mind blowing. It really is. And it's for somebody in early sobriety, because people are going to be listening to this podcast, various stages of their sobriety journey. And I know I talk to people, I consider myself to be early in sobriety as well. But right at the start, when you're battling that voice, when you're battling the cravings, all the thoughts that you want to drink, and it's like you say, for some, it's 10 minutes, 10 minutes at a time, or half an hour, or just get through the day and just get to bed. And it's that feeling of achievement, I remember right at the start. It was the energy that kept me going. It was, I did it. I did it. You know, I called her the wine witch. My voice was the wine witch. And I got past 5 o'clock. I got past 6 o'clock. I had a cup of tea. I went, you know, watched a bit of telly, went to bed, and I'm awake. And I'd open my eyes because I used to have that 3 a.m., 4 a.m. wake up where I told myself I wasn't going to drink the night before. And then I'd realize at 3, 4 a.m. I was never massively hungover, but now I realize I was just permanently feeling rubbish. But I'd wake up and I'd go, oh, I've done it again. And then the difference between waking up and going, oh, I didn't do it, was just, it was just phenomenal. And so in those moments, I sort of say to people, just the phrase, play the tape forward, play it forward. Just imagine what it's going to feel like when you wake up. And you've done that for over 3,000 mornings, 3,180 mornings, is it? I'm absolutely blown away by that figure. I can't believe, I don't know what my number is actually, but it's approaching 300, and I can't believe that. I couldn't do 2 days.
No, you were talking about waking up in the morning. Toward the end of my active addiction, I would wake up in the morning and I would solve that problem of my brain racing by drinking. That's when things really started to fall apart. That process of like the wake up and the shame spiral and the anxiety and all of that is so powerful. That keeps us in addiction for so long because we're feeding all of those feelings. And in sobriety, we get the opportunity to feed the good things that are happening in our lives, but we have to stop and recognize those things too, right? That's part of the process because it's really easy to just, and this is part of the reason I count days. Some people don't day count, and I don't like know off the top of my head my day most of the time. I have an app that helps me with that,
Yeah.
obviously. There's great technology that keeps track of our days for us, but I usually have a rough idea. But celebrating, like waking up in the morning and feeling great, taking that minute to be like, I feel really good this morning, or I got through that really hard thing, or my boss was really tough on me yesterday and I didn't react, right? I took the time needed to think and respond and then be honest. Those processes feed our sobriety. And that's how you get to 300 days and 3,000 days and 15,000 days and longer, because we get to build on the wins, and we just have to keep looking at those wins and be like, I did that yesterday.
So if you'd like to listen to the whole episode, head back on your podcast timeline to the 17th of October, 23, with Austin. And just to remind you, if you head to my website, louisaevans.com, you will find the Sober Resilience course, where you can use code RESILIENCE544 to get a massive 30% off. It's not just focused on sobriety. These are tools that you can use for any area of your life. You'll also find a range of hypnosis recordings on so many subjects, from confidence boosting through to enjoying exercise or finding weight loss easy, alongside ones to support your sobriety. If you use the code SOBERREBEL, all one word, you'll be able to buy one, get one free on all of those recordings. And again, I'll remind you, it's an amazing way to reprogram some of those deep-rooted beliefs around alcohol and to enjoy the process, or around anything else that you're working on. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of my guests over this last couple of years for their openness and honesty. And the podcast will be back in its regular fortnightly slot very shortly. Have a great day.